We're trying to piece together the Gordon Hayward puzzle. You'll really like what Tatum's mom had to say after his extension. And Taco Fall is back on this Tuesday, Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Millie. Hey there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. Welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I'm the MassLive.com Boston Celtics beat reporter and the host of this podcast, here for you on a daily basis, Monday through Friday, except this week with the Thanksgiving holiday. I think we're going to take Thanksgiving Day off. You should too. I know you're not supposed to travel, so be safe. Maybe spend it with immediate family if you can. However you're going to do it, please be safe. I hope you take care of yourselves. I know we need to get past this pandemic. I want to get back into the garden. I want to get back out there with the fans in the building and the best atmosphere in basketball. I'm really looking forward to whenever we can get back to that. It starts with being careful. So I hope everybody has a nice, safe, careful Thanksgiving. In today's show, more Gordon Hayward rumors. Zach Lowe on the Low Post podcast talking about the offers for Hayward from the Celtics and the Pacers. Segment two, Jason Tatum's mom had some really nice things to say. You're going to really like those. Segment three, Taco Fall back. I'm going to talk about that because why not? Let's start with Zach Lowe, who really laid out in the latest Low Post podcast with Chris Herring of 538, which you should listen to. He does a good podcast. They had a segment on the Gordon Hayward situation. And the tone of the segment was surprise. Surprise that the Boston Celtics couldn't work things out with the Indiana Pacers. And that Gordon Hayward ended up signing with the Charlotte Hornets. So, two really key elements to this. One, he thought that a deal was going to be there. But basically, it came down to Danny Ainge just did not like Miles Turner. And he said, quote, "I think really talking to people and reading the tea leaves as best I could, it really comes down to the Celtics didn't want Miles Turner." And then later he said, quote, "I did hear from some teams around the league that the Celtics have done some preliminary research on what Miles Turner's trade value would have been to them had they acquired him either in this deal or in a separate deal, and obviously didn't like what they saw." So, and then one other quote here. Quote, "They made a conscious decision that I'd rather have Tristan Thompson at 9.5 and 9.5 than Miles Turner at 18, 18, 18. Now, that means $9.5 million per year at 2 years each. A year at $9.5 million, a year at $9.5 million for Tristan Thompson versus 3 years of $18 million of Miles Turner. So let's start there. Danny Ainge didn't want Miles Turner, apparently, reportedly. That falls in line with what Danny Ainge doesn't want to do, which is spend a lot of money on a big. He spent his mid-level with $9.5 million. I think that's the high end of what Danny Ainge wants to pay a big. That's today's NBA. And so people who are sitting there saying, hey, what about Steven Adams? Hey, what about Andre Drummond? What about these bigs who are making 20-something million a year and want big money? No, Danny Ainge is not going to do it, and frankly, he shouldn't do it. This is not what the NBA is right now. If it was 20 years ago, yeah, sure. You know, there was a sea change somewhere there in the 90s where the big man just kind of disappeared from the league. Like, just generally speaking, a stand in the center of the lane big man, unless you're Joel Embiid or unless there's a good fit, it's just not going to work. Now, Steven Adams has worked, but he's worked because of the teams that he was on. And now the Thunder are like, okay, thanks, but enjoy New Orleans. And so we'll see how it works in New Orleans, but it's not always a great fit. Not at that money anyway. So that's the first part of this, that we need to really understand the mechanics of NBA team building. Miles Turner, and I said this yesterday, Miles Turner at $18 million a year might not be what Danny Ainge was looking for. I think I said this in the immediate aftermath podcast. $18 million a year for 3 years for Miles Turner is a lot of money. And that's not where the Celtics want to be. They don't want to be in that range. Now, here's the next piece of this. The Pacers and the Celtics were basically offering not exactly Charlotte money, but according to Zach Lowe, wasn't that far off. And he says, quote, if you want to climb the contract, that's fine. Just know that it's not like the Pacers and Celtics were offering $80 million. They weren't offering $120 million. But my best intel is something like 105, 108, 102, 110. It's not like the delta was huge. So I don't know if it was $100 million and the Hornets swooped in and said, 120. We're gonna overpay you. We know we're going to overpay you, but we got to overpay you because that's how the Hornets get their guy. They have to overpay. So they overpaid Gordon Hayward, and he's their guy. So where are we with this? People are still calling for Danny Ainge's head. And I don't know if we're any closer at figuring out exactly where this was going, but it's pretty clear that the Pacers and Celtics were talking trade. That much is obvious. And they weren't close necessarily on a trade. But if Zach is correct, and I have no reason to believe that he's not, that if teams were offering somewhere north of $100 million, and if the reports out of Indy are accurate, that Gordon Hayward was willing to accept a hometown discount, then one of my questions right away is, well, then why did he jump at this offer so quickly? Did Charlotte say it's either say yes now or don't? Like, who else was Charlotte going to give that money to? They weren't. Now, maybe obviously you want to have an answer as soon as possible, but if you're Gordon Hayward and you want to go to Indy as badly as some people want to portray it, and if you are willing to take a little bit less, is it 102? Is it 105? If you're willing to take a hometown discount, then when Charlotte comes calling, then you say, well, hold on. Give it a day. Give it two. Hold on here. Free agency opened on Friday, and the contract was done on Saturday. And I know everything's working at a breakneck pace, but I still feel like Danny Ainge should have had some time to negotiate. If the Indiana Pacers really wanted Gordon Hayward, that's the other element of this. How badly did the Indiana Pacers really want Gordon Hayward? If they were like, yeah, we'd love Gordon, here's Miles Turner, and that's the basis of every deal. We're not doing a deal without giving up Miles Turner. And Danny Ainge says, well, that's not going to get you Gordon Hayward. Then the Pacers, what do they say? Well, I guess we're not getting Gordon Hayward. Like, there's involvement in three different entities. Can you say, well, Danny Ainge should have just taken Miles Turner? You got to get something? Okay, I suppose. And different people have different opinions on players. I'm not thrilled with the idea of paying Miles Turner $18 million. The Pacers just committed that money to him a couple years ago, and they're already looking to move him. So that tells you exactly, like, the Pacers don't get good players all the time unless they draft them. They gave Miles Turner the money, then they gave Domantas Sabonis the money, and they're like, nah, you know what? Turner was a mistake, and they're starting to pawn him off. Like, if they're looking to move Turner like this, that tells you something. So, Danny Ainge, maybe he gets some of the blame here for not acting quickly enough. Okay, there's certainly that element to it. Maybe he could have moved on something else. Who knows? There's an element of the Indiana Pacers. Maybe their interest in Gordon Hayward was not 100% interested, you know, or not so interested that they were willing to move off of this position. You know, like, no one really looks at the Pacers' perspective in this. And maybe the Pacers were like, yeah, Gordon's nice. We'd love to have Gordon come home. Not at that money. You know, and we're not going to give up. We're not going to give up TJ Warren. We like him. I don't know if that's what they said, but I mean, that's one of the guys that Danny Ainge reportedly wanted. Or Victor Oladipo. Maybe they were looking to flip Oladipo. Maybe they just wanted to, they saw this as an opportunity to get off of Miles Turner. So part of this is almost like the Paul George trade all over again, where the Celtics seemed to be lining things up for a Paul George trade a few years ago. And then the Pacers were just like, you know what? We're just doing this OKC deal. We're just doing that and we're done. Like, it has shades of that deal. And then there's the Gordon Hayward element here, where it's like, well, how badly did he want to go to Indy? We painted it as if, you know, some of these reports are always, he's solely focused on going back to Indy. Well, if he was solely focused on going back to Indy, why did he jump at this offer? Like, yeah, it's $20 million more. But if he's solely focused on going back to Indy, then this isn't solely focused. This is, I'd like to go back to Indy, but let's see what else is out there. Because that 120 came around and he was like, yep. It's a lot of money. But if he was willing to take that discount, if he was willing to, if he wanted this and only this or mostly this, like, a lot of these reports, it doesn't all add up. It sounds to me like we've got a guy who, yeah, man, you know what? I'd like to go home to Indy. But let's see what else is out there. And Danny Ainge was like, all right, yeah, let's see if we can do this Indy thing. We really, let's do this. This is a good opportunity to get something back. But he was like, I'm not just going to take anything back. And Indy was like, yeah, we'd love to have Hayward back, but we're not gonna go crazy here. You've got to take Miles Turner. Like, there's three elements here, and I don't think all three were as laser focused on this one thing getting done as it might have seemed. I think it was they'd like to get something done. They tried to get something done, and then Hayward saw $120 million, was like, well, I'd be an idiot to pass this up, and he took it. So, money talks. That's the end. I think that's what it boils down to. Money talks, and he took the deal. We'll see what rumors come out again. I'm sure there's going to be another piece to something somewhere. It's going to be a slow progression, and again, everybody wants to blame somebody. So, we'll continue to figure out who has the lion's share of the blame. Right now, I'm just spreading it out equally. It's 33%, 33.333 across the board for Indy, Danny Ainge, Gordon Hayward. Because I think they all had elements in this that made it not work. Up next, Jason Tatum's mom says some things that are really going to make you go nuts. That's coming up right after I tell you about Built Go, which is going to help you get through whatever your wall is. What is that wall? Where is it hitting you? What are you running into during the day? Are you working from home and finding it tough to get through the middle of the day? Do you just want to crawl into your bed and take a nap? Are you trying to go to the gym and trying to find that motivation? It gets dark at 4 o'clock. It's getting colder. It's comfort food season. You need to bust through that wall. Built Go is going to help you get through it, no matter if it's mental or physical. These easy 1.5 ounce packages are easy to pack into a work bag, a gym bag, your pocket, purse, whatever. It's going to get you through your day. It's the best workout gel on the market. It's like a 5-hour energy drink without that same crash feeling. The flavors, peanut butter, honey. Just stop right there for me. Stop right there. Peanut butter honey is my favorite combination of all time. Chocolate coconut, chocolate mint, also very good. Now, this energy gel is combined with collagen protein, so it's fast absorbing. It'll get into your system really fast. It's super easy in your stomach, and it's loaded with the good stuff to ignite your work. Beta-alanine, B3, honey, like I said, a kick of caffeine, B6 and B12 vitamins. Plus, as a bonus, collagen promotes joints, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. It literally makes you look better. So go to builtgo.com and use the promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Hey, be sure to come back for tomorrow's podcast. On Tuesday, we're going to be hearing from the rookies. The rookies are getting introduced Tuesday afternoon. So read my stories on masslive.com/Celtics and then come back for tomorrow's Locked On Celtics podcast. You'll hear what the rookies have to say. So that's going to be fun. Now, yesterday I talked about Jeff Teague like briefly. And people on Twitter go, what? No Jeff Teague talk? So all right, let me sneak in some Jeff Teague talk because I shortchanged him yesterday. The Celtics signed Jeff Teague. It is an upgrade, no doubt, from Brad Wanamaker, who was good, solid. Everybody, that's the word you use for Brad Wanamaker, solid backup. Teague's going to do a little bit more. He's a little bit more dynamic of a player. And so take the Gordon Hayward situation as its own entity that's still incomplete. The Thompson signing is an upgrade from Enes Kanter, and the Jeff Teague signing is an upgrade from Brad Wanamaker. Now, Teague brings that, he's 32, he's a 12-year vet. He's lost some of his athleticism, which used to make him super, super fast, but still going to be able to run a team. You're not asking for too much, you're just asking him to run a team. He's an Indianapolis native, so you know, you lose an Indy native, you bring in an Indy native, so he's got that connection with Brad Stevens. The only thing about him is that he turns the ball over. And this is going to be where the Celtics and Brad Stevens are going to hopefully try to get him to fix his game, but I don't think so, because it's never, his turnover percentage has never been lower than 15%. And if they can get it below that, good luck. It was 16.8%, his turnover percentage, last year. Just for comparison's sake, now the Celtics generally, except for that last few games of the Miami Heat series, did take care of the ball pretty well. Now his 16.8% turnover rate last year would have put him worse than Brad Wanamaker, who was the worst of really the rotation players at 15.3%. Now, Grant Williams had a turnover percentage of 17.6. So I guess I can throw him in there and say he was the worst of the rotation players. But really, the guys that we're counting on, especially the guards, Wanamaker was at 15.3%. Marcus Smart is at 12%. Jaylen Brown, 11.2%. Kemba Walker, 10.5%. Jason Tatum, 10.2%. That's their turnover percentages. And even Tatum, when that whole thing where he's losing the ball and all that stuff, still, Jeff Teague's turnover rate is like up close to 17. So that's the one thing to watch for with Jeff Teague. But overall, nice signing. You know, nice signing, adequate. That's all you need at that point. All right. I hope that satisfies everybody's need for Jeff Teague talk. Okay? Cool. Jason Tatum was featured. His mom was featured in a piece in the Globe by Adam Himmelsbach. And Adam talked to Tatum's mom, Brandi Cole. And she had a couple of things that it's like red meat to the fan base. So starting with this one, this is the quote. When he'd talk about the contract, it was never about the dollar amount. He wanted to be a max player because that signifies your level of talent and the caliber of player you are. I think that was always the priority for him, striving to be one of the best and to leave his mark in the league. So I think that that's always his focus. When you work like he does and have a passion for the game he does, the money will come. That's true. The contract size is a status thing in the NBA. You want to be a max player. When you're a max player, that's it. They're paying you as much as they possibly can. That is a sign of like, hey, I made it. The interesting part about this is last year, Tatum's game ignited when he got basically the validation of being named to the All-Star team. Now I'm curious to see how his game reacts to the validation of becoming a max player. It seems like Tatum sees these things as confidence builders. Some players might see them as, well, you know, I can relax. Tatum seems to say, all right, see, now I'm one of the top guys now. I'm a max player. So he can play like one. That's the hope anyway. Because he's, like I said, his reactions to these kind of things is almost like to like relax. He accomplished a goal of making the All-Star team. He accomplished a goal of making all NBA. Now he's got an added goal because if he makes all NBA this upcoming season, then he gets, instead of 25% of the cap, 30% of the cap. So he might have a little extra motivation for that as well. But his reactions to honors, accolades have historically been like good and a good sign. Now here's the real quote. Here's the one that you're going to want to print out and frame on your wall. His mom said, I think he would love the idea of being able to spend his entire career here if that meant putting banners up. He wants to not just say that he played here his whole career, but that he brought the city of Boston a couple of banners and his number is retired. I'm certain he would love that. Well, I mean, what more can you say there? If Jason Tatum is winning championships in Boston, then hang that zero up into the rafters and just say, that's it, we're done, it's all over. That's the goal, right? That he's going to bring titles as an MVP candidate and keep getting his max contracts and then keep getting the, you know, these honors and eventually the last honor that he gets is raising one more banner to the rafters when he comes back in 15 years or so, 20 years or so, to have his number retired. Which is scary to me because if I go cover that, man, I'm going to be an old man covering that thing 20 years from now. Holy shit. But yeah, that's the red meat. That's the red meat for Celtics fans. To hear his mom say that's what Tatum wants, to raise the banners and to have his number retired. Now, of course, we've heard some guys say that before, but I think this is a little bit different. So hopefully we get to see that come to fruition. Look, it's up to Tatum here, and if Tatum comes back as an MVP candidate, if he's a top five player, then the Celtics really don't blink much from losing Hayward. You say, hey, that would be nice to get that help. But if Tatum's out there as a top five player, if he can raise his game even more, then it almost doesn't matter. I mean, obviously it matters, but getting that trade exception and just filling in blanks around Jason Tatum, that would be, then that's all you need. And oh, by the way, Jaylen Brown exists. I want to make it seem like I'm overlooking Jaylen Brown. But Jaylen Brown is like a pretty damn good player in and of himself. So those two guys together for a long time, tantalizing. Up next, Taco Fall is back. I'll give you the details, and we'll even hear from Taco when we come back here in the Locked On Celtics podcast. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. East meets West in the Locked On NBA on Tuesdays. Wes Goldberg, the Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News and host of Locked On Warriors, and Dave Vermil, host of Locked On Heat, who's been on this show before, tackle the biggest NBA stories of the day, coast to coast. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast wherever you get podcasts. Taco Fall is coming back to the Boston Celtics for another developmental year. It's a two-way contract. For those of you who are unfamiliar, new to this, two-way contract is basically a G League contract plus some. You get 45 days with the big club. You get 45 days throughout the year to be part of the Celtics, whether it's a practice, whether it's a game, whatever it is. The whole goal of the two-way system is you're exposing these guys to an enhanced level of development. They've got scheduled time with the Celtics. It's not just a call-up. They can come up and practice. They can work with the team, travel with the team. Certain, like, travel days don't count as the 45 days. Basically, it's a practice or a game that counts. So Taco and Tremont Waters, by the way, also. So it's the same two-way players. They're back. So they're mostly going to be playing in the G League. If they get all 45 days, and teams are very good about making sure they get all 45 days somehow. So by the end of the season, they get like the 45 days. And here's the good part is, once the G League season is over, then it doesn't matter days. You can be with the Celtics. They can't play in the playoffs. If you just started following during the bubble, that was an aberration. They could because of COVID. And who knows? Maybe, I haven't heard, but maybe they'll continue that thing this year because of COVID. They want to make sure that you get a couple extra spots. But two-way deals generally, you play in the G League. You get 45 days with the big club. When you get all 45 days, you make about $200,000. So it's something to compensate these guys nicely for the added development. And then from there, guys can get upgraded and get guaranteed contracts. But so Taco is back. If fans ever get let back into the building, then you will have the We Want Taco chance. Taco Fall recently spoke after a charity event for the Celtics. I spoke to him, asked him a few questions. So let's hear from Taco Fall about his desire to come back and some of the things that happened recently, including his experience in the NBA bubble.
Hey Taco, let's just start with, you know, today's event. You've had a year now plus in Boston where you've gotten to do a lot of different things. So what's it been like interacting with people on this side of things, on the, you know, the charity side and all the stuff you've been able to do through the Boston Celtics?
It's been great. I mean, I've done quite a lot once, in my time in Boston. It's something that as a professional, I really wanted to do. I mean, it's things that, there are things that are bigger than basketball, and, you know, basketball really opens a lot of doors for us to do different kind of things where we're able to talk to different people, and especially things like this, and honor, like, where we're able to honor a lot of people, and that's something that I'm very happy to do.
As far as basketball goes, and being here in Boston, have you had any indication from the team what the future holds for you? Have you given any indication to the team what you're hoping to get as far as a contract or what you're hoping to do?
I mean, I can't really get into much of the details, but I know Boston has been really excited about me. They really worked on my game. They have helped me develop a lot this year, and I know they are very excited. So am I. So looking forward to the future. Boston is a great city. I love it here. I tell a lot of people if I could retire, I probably would. So I'm really excited about the future, and we'll see.
Hey, looking back at the bubble, what can you tell us about your experience? What was it like as you look back, spending all that time in there?
Overall, I would say the bubble was a great experience. For me, I really used that as an opportunity to really concentrate and pretty much get better. And I spent a lot of time with Coach Jay Larinaga. We used to go out and pretty much every single day. I mean, there was not much to do in the bubble, so we used that time to get in the gym as much as we could, and he kept working on my game pretty much every day. And in those 3 months that we spent there, I feel like I've even made, you know, bigger strides.
All right, welcome back, Taco Fall. I'm looking forward to hopefully getting back into the building somehow and being around these guys and talking to Taco again. Taco is genuinely nice, like genuinely just so happy to be part of all of this. He really just is so appreciative. He's great. So I'm very happy, really very happy for Taco Fall. I'm very happy that you chose to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast. If you're new and this is your first time, welcome. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm here Monday through Friday, most weeks, this week, holiday week. All right, give me a day off. But most weeks, every other week, it's a Monday through Friday daily podcast. So please subscribe wherever you get your podcast, follow on Spotify, or ask your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On Celtics. Regular listeners, I hope you find it in your heart to give this podcast a 5-star rating and a good written review if possible. And of course, sharing the podcast is super important. Tell your friends, tell everybody. If you're around people on Thanksgiving, if you're on a Zoom call with people on Thanksgiving, tell them, hey, by the way, you should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.